Welcome to the podcast of Kingsway Community Church, a community inspired by love to live differently. If you'd like to connect with us online, join us at one of our churches, make a financial contribution, or discover more about Kingsway, head to www.kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app by simply searching Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this podcast will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
Good time for us to start to, someone once said, gossip the gospel. Talk about what God's doing in our lives. Talk about the story of Christ. So Brett decided, I think, to have a two-week series leading up to Easter, talking last week about spiritual conversations. And does everyone remember that was last Saturday night? Who remembers what Brett's first point was last Saturday night? Something about coffee. Yeah, he told some stories about coffee. Listening. Yes, he's talked about. So the whole context was he was talking about spiritual conversations. He was talking about how he's. I wasn't even here, and I know more than you guys. So what does that say? He talked about how he was. You know, built a relationship with this guy who's going through a hard time at a coffee shop. And he was thinking, just talking about sharing the love of God and being a person of love when you're having these conversations. And the first one was listening. What was the second point? Anyone? Anyone? Hey? Noticing. Good. Are you looking on your phone? Oh, right. You better write down the notes from last week. Yeah, listening, noticing. And the last one was starts with C. Curiosity. Oh, it's good. Talks about listening and noticing. Genuinely taking time to love people. And a really important thing. Talked about not all conversations needing to be verbal. Sometimes, you know, most of the time it's just an opportunity for people to listen to them and let them know that you care about them. It's a pretty important space to get in. Especially in a time when we're very busy, to actually stay fully engaged in someone's story at any given time. Because that's what we want, yeah? When you're sharing with someone, you don't want them looking over your shoulder, looking at the person next to you, thinking about the next thing that they're going to be doing or the next job or the next place they've got to be. You want people to be present when they're present. And that's the call on us when we're having these conversations with people. So this week, I want to talk about spiritual invitations. Last week, spiritual conversations, talking about spiritual invitations. Most of you were here or have come to church or come to Christ normally, put your hand up, that you actually came to church for the first time, not necessarily today, but when you did come to church for the first time because someone invited you. That didn't work very well. All right, let's pray. No. But most people come, whether it's a parent or, but even in a website in some ways is an invitation, isn't it? You know, letting people know you exist, letting people know that you're here. I'm interested to know, how did you come to church if you didn't get invited? How did you get here? Anyone want to sort of volunteer? Let me come down here and bit of a roaming mic here. Yes, Shaz, how did you get to church? By sides, by car? Right, you got sent. Wow. Well, that's kind of an invitation, I suppose. Without choice. I don't know if you've ever been invited somewhere you didn't want to go, but your wife made you go. Yeah, I've been there. I've been sent to do certain places, had an invitation attached. Anyone else? Tell me, how did you get to church? Yeah. Told by God.
Sorry, I said I got told by God, and it was just this pestering in my head for weeks. Kingsway, 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 Kingsway. Until I said, right, I get it. Stop.
I've got a girl for you there. I've got a girl for you there. And then you went, you were like, yeah, I'm going. Anyone else? If you didn't know, he met his wife here. So, yeah, that's why we have youth group. No. Young adults ministry. All those things. Anyone else? Is there... Anyone else want to share how you come? Some were sent, some God sent, really. That's a great story. Yeah. But other people were invited. But the majority of people come because someone invited them. Someone told them, hey, come and see. Come and check this out. And we want to talk a little bit about that today. My testimony about how I actually came to Kingsway at the time was that I got invited by a guy that I didn't even know. So at the time, I was in Wagga Wagga. And I'll read a story from John in a minute, and it says, you know, can anything good come from Nazareth? It was like that, can anything good come from Wagga? And it was, that was me. And Mark Taylor, Michael Slater, and Jeff Lawson, and they're all cricketers, but if you didn't know that. But so a lot of good things come from Wagga, but I got invited by a guy who was, I made a decision that I was going to come to Sydney to study. And I got asked by a guy who used to sort of go around to support the pastors. He did make it out to Wagga one time. And he found out that I was going to Sydney to study. And he told the pastor here at the time, in order to, whether I would, and the pastor here, John Sutton at the time, rang me and said, Brooke, I heard you coming to Sydney. Would you be interested in coming being our student minister? And so I went... And he says, look, I can't pay you anything. And I thought, well, that's church. no. And then I thought, but he said, we can give you a house. And I thought, living at college versus a house, that was a good deal. So I decided that I'd come here and become the student minister. It was funny, the first day I was here, because I knew I was replacing someone that they were having some troubles with. And the first day I was here, Brett was preaching. And I'll never forget this. And I leaned over to my wife, Temmie, at the time, and I said, Temmie, this guy's really good. I hope they're not getting rid of him. So I was feeling a lot of expectation at the time. But there was another guy. It didn't matter. But he's going well. But anyway, God invited me here. And I tell you what, my life has totally changed. That was 18 years ago. I remember that because my son just turned 18 and Temmie was... very pregnant with Josiah when we arrived. And I came and my life was changed forever. You know, I feel like I'm a different person today than I was then because someone invited me here to be part of this church. And for many of you, the decision to come to Christ was a life-altering decision. It changed the course of your life forever. Even though if you were sent by your parents or by God... that decision has changed your life forever. And I want to encourage us, the decision to invite someone into this story, the kingdom of God, the narrative of the gospel, this story still has the power to change people's lives forever. In fact, it does. It's the most incredible story. So as we come up to Easter, this is the most significant event in the Christian story, and it still has the power to change lives forever. Literally, forever. Are you agreeing with me or just some people just nodding? Because the more you respond, the better I'll preach. But there is a sense that you had that experience where God did something in your life and it changed the path of your life forever. And it continues to do so. This afternoon, I've got the privilege of baptizing someone in the ocean because the gospel still works today as it did 2,000 years ago. I've had an experience where I'm constantly having conversations, and it's important to remember those conversations and those testimonies of what God is doing because the testimonies remind us that He is still doing it today, over and over again. I saw this lady who I'm going to baptize this afternoon a couple of weeks ago, and I sort of ran into her, and she was limping, and she had a bad limp, and she was walking. I said, what's going on? And she said, oh, look, I just got out of bed this morning, and I got this something wrong with my leg. It's shocking. And I said, oh, can I pray for you? You know, because that's what we do. And I said to her, you know, let's just pray. And you wouldn't believe it. I was surprised as she was. She got healed. God works. The gospel's still happening. Things are still happening. The power of God is still at work. And after that conversation, because she's been sort of journeying, literally a couple of years I've known this lady. And she's been talking about, you know, her faith. And I said, well, you know, and we had this conversation that went on for a while. In the end, I said, well, let's do it. Let's get baptized next Sunday in the ocean. Let's do this thing. And let's be born again. Let's start over. Let the gospel come into your life and bring new life and new hope to your world. Because God is real. And in that moment, that healing was more so that she, just God reminding her that she was here and that she was worth it. And that God died for her. And that he loves her. And this afternoon I get the privilege of baptizing her and walking into that experience with her. A lady from our church a couple of weeks ago, there's a lady who came for the first time and made a decision to follow Christ in the service. And I said, and one of the ladies after the service, two ladies took this lady into another room, a bit like the cry room over there, and she came out leaping and praising God with joy, this lady. I said, "What happened?" I said, "What happened?" She was so excited. "Brooke, I need to talk to you." And she said, she's a Christian. She became a Christian. And the lady came out, big smile on her face. She was so excited. And she said to me, this lady said to me, "Brooke," she said, "you know, I've spoken to many people about Christ. I've talked to people about Christ. I've had conversations about Jesus with lots of people, but never in my life have I led someone to Jesus." And she was like, "This is the best." Like, smoking. Like, this is the best drug you could ever have. And she came out of that, and I just thought, it's so true, isn't it? You know, for those who have been saved, it's the power of God. It's foolish to those who are perishing, but for those who are being saved, it's the power of God. And the power of God is at work today. And so our response to that, because we've been invited into that, is to invite other into that same situation. Side note, I don't know where you're at with Jesus right now, but I just want you to know that God loves you, and I want you to know that he wants to have an encounter with you that will change your life forever. And baptism is an opportunity to say to God, "You know what, I am sick of doing things my own way, and I want to choose to do them your way, and I'm willing to publicly say, I die to myself, and I rise up to you and your plans and purposes in my life. I'm going to start again. I'm going to be born again. I'm going to start over. I'm going to bring new life." If you haven't been baptized this afternoon, let's do that today, right? If you haven't been baptized, full immersion in water. Come and talk to me after service. Let's get it done. And I believe it will be the most powerful experience that you have on the planet. It will change your life forever. And I'm not just saying that because I know it and I've seen it in other people. And testimony literally means, you know, a story of God which he'll do over and over again. And I've seen in others, and I believe he can do it in you. So I'm inviting you. Let's take that as an invitation. If it's not an invitation, I'm sending you. Go and do it. And if I'm not doing that, maybe God's saying, go and do it. You've been thinking about it for a while, and I love what you said, is that God sometimes is stirring our hearts to do things way before an individual or a person invites you in. And that's a beautiful thing. Invitation has been the MO. I've got a pen here because I want to take notes on myself. No, it's going to be that good. Let me read from John chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles, you can have a look. Let's start at verse 35. This is the start of the story when Jesus is inviting his disciples to follow him. "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, Andrew and another guy. We don't know who the other guy was. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked, 'What do you want?'" This is like the ideal stalking situation. These guys are following Jesus. Jesus turns and growls and goes, "What do you want?" "They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.'" So John and Andrew get invited to come to the place where Jesus was going. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. So the invitation came by Jesus, and he and those guys went and spent the whole day with him, basically. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, who was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and brought him to Jesus. So Andrew, the first thing he does after he spends a day with Jesus is that he invites his brother to come and meet Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, and you will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. He said to him, "Follow me." So Jesus invites Philip to come and follow him. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and of whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth," or Wagga, "can anything come from there?" Nathanael asked. And Philip said, "Come and see." "Come and see," said Philip. Philip invites Nathanael to come and see. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to them, "He is truly an Israelite of whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus said, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see even greater things than that." So Jesus invites us to come and see. And I love this testimony here because it's my first point, so I appreciate that. God invites us way before anyone else invites us. The invitation is coming from him. Jesus said, "Come and see." And you see this right through the Bible. You see it right through the prophets, through Adam and Eve. He creates them and invites them into the garden and spends time with them. And he invites Abraham and Moses and Joshua and Jeremiah, and you hear the disciples, and it's all this sense of come, follow me. And this would be our story as well, I think, is there something in us that says God is drawing me into this place where I need to know him. Other people invite you, but yeah, God is inviting you. I remember before John rang me, I had a dream the night, a couple of nights before this, and God said to me, "I know you've been thinking about going to Sydney and all this kind of stuff. The time is now. The time is now." Literally days after, John rings me and says, "Hey, would you like to come to Sydney?" And I'm like, "Yep, let's do that." But the invitation first came from God, and it was confirmed by John. And this is what happens. And I think most of us, in some ways, are shocked at the fact, just like the disciples were, and just like some of the prophets were, when Jesus invites us into this place to be a part of his kingdom. I think, you know, if I read Jeremiah 1, verse 4, and it talks about the invitation of Jeremiah, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone." He said, "You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and the kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." I think there is sometimes a hesitation when we first get that invitation from God because we're thinking, what can I have to offer? What contribution can I make? You know, who am I that I would come into your kingdom? And there's a hesitation that we're not worthy. But God does invite us because he wants us to come into this place. He wants us to be part of his family. See, you are his sons and daughters who he's come back to rescue from sin and from darkness and from lostness. And he's trying to bring you back. I love the story in Luke 14 about the wedding feast, because it's a great picture of what God's trying to do when it comes to invitation. It's a great picture. It says, "When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, 'Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God.'" And Jesus is telling this story about inviting people to a great wedding feast. And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" So the host is inviting people. He sent out this broad invitation to come. And the servant's responsibility is simply to remind people that they've been invited. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. So some people were preoccupied with their family, with their business commitments and all these things that they rejected their invitation to the kingdom. And this is often what happens, is that there is an invitation that goes out to everybody, but some people, for whatever reason, choose not to come. And that's okay. And the servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full. I tell you, not one of these who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. You know, God's intention is that his house is going to be full. You see the desperation in this story? He puts out invitations and a whole bunch of people are going, look, I'm too busy, I've got other things to do. Okay, that's fine. When we invite a party, when we have a party and we invite people out and people say they can't come, what do? We generally go, okay, that's all right, we'll just have less people here. But that's not the way God runs the kingdom. If people reject it and say he invites everyone and they go and they're not coming, what does he do? He goes out into the highways and the byways and he will drag them in. The word there is drag, compel. There is a sense that he will go to the extreme to bring people into his family. Why? Because it's so flippin' awesome. He doesn't want people, like, this is the best party that's ever been held, and he's saying, I want people to be here. And in fact, I don't care whether it's the rich, I don't care whether the people are busy, just go out and find the poor, the lame, the blind, whoever it is. God's intention is that his house would be full, and he meets us where we're at. He doesn't expect us to have it all together before we come in. He just says, hey, grab the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, whether they're physically poor, blind, crippled or lame, or spiritually poor, blind, crippled or lame. He goes out and invites you in just as you are and says, come into my house because I want it to be full and I want you to encounter my presence. Because God does invite sinners. He does invite us as we are. I love what Isaiah 1 says, verse 18. Come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. This is the place of transformation. This is the place where you go from being sickened with your sin to being free with Christ. This is the place where that happens. So God's expectation is that you come in as you are and you give us, and he gives us forgiveness and makes us clean. This is the place of transformation. This is it. That was your story. That's my story. That's my friend's story. That's what it's about. People aren't going to get transformed by going out and doing what they said in this story, by buying their houses and getting busy with work and their families. That is not a transformational journey, just so you know. I have found that in my own life. I've had moments in my life where I've got materialistic and thought, you know what, I'm just tired and I just want to go and buy a house or want to go, not that I've got many houses, but I have that moment where I'm just feeling depressed or depressed maybe extreme, but sort of feeling flat and feeling like, you know what, I'm just not coping and, a good bit of shopping therapy or, just get distracted with things of this world, a bit of renovations, that's what I do, burying my sorrows in my renovations. And create more sorrow. But they're just distractions. They just take me away because the place of transformation happens in the presence of God and not in the presence of the world. And I know that over and over again, yet I find myself being caught up in the current of the world, getting away from the flags where God can protect me, end up way down the beach and I don't know how I'm going to get back. But I know the place of protection and transformation is in the house of God. It's been my story, it's your story, and it's going to be your friend's story and your family's story. Seriously. There are people in your life right now that are lost, they're broken, they're crippled, they're lame, they're blind. And for whatever reason, you're trying to figure out how is that transformation going to happen. Let me tell you, I believe it can happen right here. The gospel is the power of God for those who are being saved. God invites us to come and see. To come and see. He invites us into that place to come and see and to come follow him. Now, if you're going to invite people into this place, you need to get in touch with your own transformational journey. David wrote this in the psalm. He said, rejoice. This is after he had an affair and sort of got lost a bit and went away from the place where God wanted him. He wrote this. He said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Or the joy of your salvation. Restore to me that joy. Literally means to cause that joy to return, God. You're never going to invite someone to a party that you don't want to be at. It's profound, isn't it? I about 18 months ago, found this new Japanese sushi place at Janelli. Someone invited me there, a couple of guys actually. And we had a great lunch there and I explored, because I'm from Wagga and I like meat and three veg. Sushi was sort of way off the track from where I was going. And I explored this journey with these guys. Mate, I have become a convert. I ask others to go there and I tell others to go there because it's amazing. Who would have thought? But if I had I know other people that have been to restaurants and had like food poisoning. And you're not inviting people back to that place. You're not going, hey, you should go to that joint. I got food poisoning there. Go check it out. Come and see. But my point is this. If you have a joy in your own salvation journey, if you're loving this place, if you're loving what God's doing in your life, you love what God's seeing, you will not hesitate to tell other people to come and join you on that journey. See, for John, he had a behold the Lamb of God. He had a behold moment, if you like, where he looked at Jesus and thought, man, I want to go hang with this guy. I've been talking about now I want to hang with him. I'm going to spend the whole day with him. He goes and spends the whole day, Andrew, and they tell their friends. And from there they go, look, if you want to go anywhere, be anywhere, go and hang out with Jesus because he's the best place you need to be. The sad thing is that many of us, and maybe not many of us, but a few of us have had experiences with church and faith that has been quite negative. And you wouldn't send your worst enemy there. And that's the honest thing. But that's not a reflection of God. That's a reflection of your experience of church. And David writes, restore to me the joy of your salvation. So how would you... I've been watching travel guides. Anyone watching this show? Yes, I knew. Ruthie, I knew I'd have a fan. Anyone doesn't know, I want to get on this show too. They basically find five random people in Australia and send them on, amazing holidays and all expenses paid. I want to get on this show. But at the end of every experience, so they've gone to Central Australia, Dubai, they've gone New Zealand, Wagga. No, they didn't go to Wagga. Gold Coast. Thank you for that. Up to anywhere else. Yeah, they went to all these experiences, and at the end of the experience, they rate the experience as far as... Because the idea is that they want me and you to go on those holidays, which is never going to happen because I don't have their budget. So that's a bit ridiculous. But the point is, and as I was thinking about this, is how do you rate your spiritual experience? Like, do you rate it high enough that you would invite other people into it? Where does it fit? And if not, think back when you first got saved and ask yourself the same question. When you first came to Christ, when you had the fire of God in your belly? Would you probably would have been in that place where you would have just dragged them in. Come and experience that. And I think that's where God wants us to return. You know, that's my prayer this morning, is that we get that fire of God in our hearts, where we realize that God is at work, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that we can invite people into this journey, which is amazing. Which is absolutely amazing. We need to have that behold moment. Wow, it's almost like that miraculous wow moment. We just go, wow, God is here and God is working. I can see it and I want other people to be a part of it. I want to encourage us in that. We invite people to come and see. I love that God goes before us in this journey. There's a whole bunch of people that God is working on right now in your family and friends and in your workplace that he wants you to invite in this story. You're not going out there and he's going, go out on that limb and good luck with that. I'm not sure if it's going to break or not. Because some of us feel like that. You know, we feel like, oh man, I'm just, whoa. I feel like I don't know whether I'm prepared to dive that far out. You know, risk of relationship, risk of whatever. But God is going out before you. The harvest is plentiful, the Bible says, and the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. That represents what God is doing in our community. That represents where God is in our community. You know, and we can sit around. I can get testimonies because I want to, one of the, my disciplines at this time at the moment is to remember what God is doing rather than focusing on what he's not doing. And so I love hearing stories. This morning I had a story of a lady. We have a food fairy at our church. I thought we only had one, but we actually have two now. So there's a lady who used to come in and fill up our food pantry at church. And she, because we have people coming into Sea Change every week just looking for free food, and we feed them, you know, just like non-perishable goods and things like that. And we go through a fair bit of food. Anyway, this one lady for ages would just come in almost overnight, and you'd walk in and be all full again. I'm like, oh, the food fairy. I'd text Kirby, the food fairy's been again. Anyway, I texted her this morning and said, the food fairy's been again. She said, oh, it's a different food fairy. I was like, wow, got two. She said, a lady came in on Friday and she stopped coming to our playgroup last week because her kids are grown up, last year because her kids are grown up. And she said that the church and playgroup had such an impact on her that she wanted to come back and do something, so she filled the whole pantry with food. Like a few hundred dollars of groceries. That's a great story. That's what the community of God can do when you invite someone into it. She obviously thought it was a pretty cool experience that she would go out and spend her own money in order to do that. And I just think that's what you do when you love a place. That's what you do when you're excited about being somewhere. And that's what God would want for us. We had a guy at Sea Change, and I've only got these stories because I'm really focusing on them right now. And I'm trying to notice everything because God is, I just believe God does a lot of things in your life and you just kind of go on and you forget what he's doing. So there's got this guy coming to Sea Change who's got an intellectual disability and he's been coming along. We baptized him at our men's camp last year. Anyway, he come and saw me this week. Brooke, I want to talk to you. I want to give money to this beyond thing. I want to give money to this beyond thing. I said, yeah, that's great. And he goes, which ones can I give it to? We had this conversation and I said, well, actually, I get to decide that. But we talked about all the things on here and he said, oh, and he pulled out his wallet and he gave his money. You know why? Because he loves us. He loves the church. I literally get 10 text messages every 2 days from this guy telling me how much he loves Kingsway. It's annoying.
Yeah.
But I love his passion. I love that he loves being here. He loves it so much he's scared that one day someone's going to tell him he can't come anymore. And that would just be the worst thing in the world. Wouldn't it be great to be in that place where your fear is that you're going to miss out on what God's doing? God invites us into this place. He seeks us out and he invites us in and he wants us to encounter him and restore the joy of our salvation. And he wants us to have such an experience that we want to bring others into that experience because it's so flippin' awesome. And God does lead us on this journey. He's not like he's sending us out, but there's people in our lives that he wants us to invite. And as we lead into Easter, the thing on our hearts should be, God, what are you doing right now? Who do I need to be inviting to our Easter services? Who do I need to be inviting to come and be a part of what you're doing in this place? Now, I think you've got to go away and wrestle with that and pray and ask God what he's doing. Go through your phone and just say, God, who can I invite in? Because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. My son recently had his 18th birthday party, which we've been talking about for months and months, and we are serial non-party people in our family. I am father non-party. I don't like parties because every Sunday is a party for me and I'm like, people and I'm always around people. I think it's probably a response to that. But, and unfortunately, my son is very similar. And, Dad, you know, it's your 18th, mate. You know, you've got to do something big, something huge. It's like, no, it's all right. I'll do a few things. I said, he decided he was going to go out for dinner. And right up until the last time, the last minute, like the day before, I said to him, mate, no one's going to come to the party unless you invite them. Oh, yeah, a few people know. It was so up in the air. It was so laid back, which is me. I was like looking in the mirror. It's probably why it was so frustrating. But no one's going to come and celebrate your life unless you invite them. And you know what? No one's going to come to the church unless you invite them. No one's going to come to playgroup, mainly music, your small group, youth group, whatever it is. No one's going to come unless you invite them. Sure, every now and then their parents will send them because they're naughty children. Or every now and then God will nag people in the middle of the night, but majority of people are going to come because you invited them. And they're not going to come unless we do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that your kingdom is forcefully advancing, that you're doing so many things in people's lives, that the gospel is so powerful, Lord. It's changing lives, even as we speak. I pray, God, if there's anyone in this room today that needs to make a decision to come to Christ, to be baptized, to set aside their life for your purposes, Lord, I pray that even now that you would just touch their heart and convict them today. Do your work, Lord. But, Lord, I invite them to be baptized this morning. I pray, God, if those of us who maybe lost our first love, maybe we need to restore that joy of our salvation. I pray as we worship even now, Lord, and over these wee weeks, we would have an encounter with you over this week that would renew our passion for you, but also renew our passion for the people of God and for his church. And we just look forward to this Easter season. We pray that many people would come to your party and celebrate your life and be changed forever by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.